First John chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the Spirit, the truth, and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another.
I don't know what your mind, how your mind works, thinks, but I often, very often, find hymns that we sing Sunday morning. I wake up Monday morning with one of them going through my head, and throughout the week, one seems to stick. The song, I Run to Christ, for me, my testimony, is that often at work, during 30 seconds when I'm alone or not doing something else, I think of words from that song. I run to Christ and find my soul refreshed. And it's amazing how just dwelling on that does, at least for me, refresh my soul. And the song, There is a Redeemer. Do you ever just break out in maybe verbal or maybe silent song, thank you, O my Father, for giving us your Son? I sure hope so. Last Lord's Day, we spent most of our time in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. I plan today to look at verses 2 and 3a. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken, and through covetousness that shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. And I gave this passage a four-part outline. The false teacher's deception, their denial, their immorality, and their greed. They privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Privily, word means to bring in secretly alongside of the truth. To bring what in? Well, to bring in these damnable heresies. They deceive. And these heresies, damnable or destructive heresies meant choice. Right? They chose to take a position that did not line up with Scripture. And the words damnable or destructive speaks of ruin, final and eternal condemnation. These teachers are not believers. The teachings of these men and women, because not all false teachers are men, have disastrous eternal consequences both for them and for those who follow them. Nothing is more damnable than for someone to claim to speak for God, to speak of salvation and unto salvation, when in reality they speak for Satan and they speak to the eternal destruction of souls. And these false teachers will arise from within the church. Paul warned the elders of Ephesus as he was going to Jerusalem for what he thought would be the last time. His parting words to the elders were, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among the flock," not enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Wolves from outside would come in. "Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch." Paul warned them, and Peter had already witnessed these false teachers arising, and that's the purpose for his writing, this second epistle. Now, he doesn't specifically mention which heresy. He leaves it open. They knew, the recipients knew, and that leaves it open for us. It applies to all people in all ages, to all false doctrine. And what's the short summary of 2 Peter? Avoid false teaching by knowing true teaching and knowing the true prophets of God, like those who wrote the epistle or who wrote the Bible, as he says at the end of chapter 1. Their deception. Secondly, their denial. We looked at their denial. These false teachers denied the sovereign Lord who bought them. They denied their master, denied his role, his rule, and his authority over them. False teachers do not submit themselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ over their lives. They don't, because then they would not be able to practice their sin. They lie like their father, the devil. They practice immorality, and they're motivated by greed. That's our next 2 points. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would bless us and direct us, be glorified as we look at and receive your word. Amen. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily, I keep mispronouncing that, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. The false teachers' immorality. Sadly, false teachers are successful. It says many will follow their pernicious ways. Now, pernicious is not a word we commonly use. It means lascivious, as it says in the marginal note, or licentious. But those are also words we don't use today. More simply, it means sensuality. Means depraved conduct. It means immorality. And Peter was moved by the Holy Spirit to use the plural noun ways. Their sensual, pernicious ways. Plural. It may mean that their sexually immoral excesses were repeated and habitual. They continued to do these same things over and over. Or it may indicate that they committed all manner of excesses and extremes of immorality. So it could refer to the quality or the quantity. Let's look how Peter uses the same word, the same root word. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3, he says this, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles." Right? In time past, we did enough of what the Gentiles do. "When we walked in lasciviousness," there's the word, "in sensuality, in immorality, in lusts, in excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." That's how he used it there. Living in sensuality prior to salvation. That's the work of the unconverted. That's how they live. Christian, don't live like the lost. Not even in your mind. Peter also uses the same word in chapter 2 of 2 Peter, verse 7. Look there. "Speaking of Lot and delivered just or righteous Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." Where's the word there? Filthy conversation. All right. Filthy conduct. Sensual or depraved lifestyle. Peter mentions and condemns the sensuality of false teachers directly or indirectly in chapter 2, verse 10. Chiefly, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness. Chapter 2, verse 12. "But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption." In chapter 2, verse 14, "having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin." In verse 18, "for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh." Verse 19, it says, "they themselves are the servants of corruption." They're slaves to their immorality. Verse 22, "the sow that was washed returns to her wallowing in the mire." In chapter 3, verse 3, "knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lusts." Do you think that this was a problem in Peter's society? He just, like a machine gun on target, just pulls the trigger and pulls the trigger. Now, this is a description of false teachers, but sadly, many Christians live the same way. And it shouldn't be. Yes, it was a problem in Peter's society, like it is in our society, but even more disturbing, even more distressing, more heartbreaking, these false teachers are in the church. And many are following them. Now, not necessarily everyone who follows them are lost, but many are following them to destruction. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7, the last chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, says, "Enter ye at the straight gate, the hard gate, the difficult gate. For wide is the gate, and broad's the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight, hard, difficult is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it." And then, just before he talks about building your life on a rock, not on the sand, he says, Jesus says, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in thy name? Haven't we in your name cast out many devils? And in your name done many wonderful works?" Jesus will profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart." It says many. Will you be one of those who are told to depart from Jesus? It's sadly true that there's no doctrine, however senseless, monstrous, wicked, that will lack for followers if under the guise of religion it is presented and it appeals to the sensual appetites of men and women. And that's not new. Jeremiah dealt with that. And he records in chapter 23, verses 14 and verse 32. God says, I have also seen in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers so that none does return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom and as the inhabitants of Gomorrah. Verse 32, God says, therefore I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord. Remember those false prophets that were among the people, referring to Israel? They prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. It's nothing new. The only thing that changes, perhaps, is the way it's presented. In addition to this eternal destruction of the false teachers and those who believe in their teaching, they bring disgrace upon the name of Christ. Look what it says. Verse 2. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The phrase evil spoken of translates the Greek word blasphemeio. Blasphemeio? Well, we know that word, don't we? Blaspheme. But what does it mean to blaspheme? To slander, to bring into disrepute, to speak evil of. Because of these false teachers and their followers, the many who follow them, people will slander, will blaspheme the way of truth. What's the way of truth refer to? Christianity, the Bible, the gospel, the church. Christianity and Christ are evil spoken of by the world because of the ungodly lives of these false teachers and their followers. Now, Satan seeks to undermine the church from inside by introducing heresies and false teaching. He also seeks to tarnish the reputation of the church from the outside by periodically unmasking his false teachers before the eyes of the world. Satan cares not for his servants. He'll chew them up and spit them out. All he cares about is blaspheming the name of Christ, destroying anyone who's precious to him, and seeking to raise himself above God. So when Satan has a false teacher, and that false teacher gets enough fame, then he pulls the curtain, and the world sees the guy or woman was a fraud, a hypocrite, and they equate everything they stood for with the Bible. So that when they hear a true or faithful or sincere witness or messenger, they lump them all together. The name of Christ is blasphemed. The way of truth is blasphemed. Titus 1:16 says, they profess they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. What does reprobate mean? Not able to tell right from wrong. They have no more discernment. They have sinned so often that they have seared their conscience. Everything is okay as long as it brings them pleasure. But it's not only the fault, not only do unbelievers bring disgrace and slander upon the way of truth. In Romans 2:24, Paul says, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you Jews who aren't living the way God wants you to. Peter, in chapter 1, contends that a living knowledge of God's truth must result in godly living and a rejection of false teaching. There are intellectual aspects of the Christian faith, and these aspects must find practical expression in your daily life. Sunday night, series a while back, the riches of Christ. We talked about walking in accordance with what you are walking, living. Live what you truly are. The Bible says we are heirs with Christ. How does royalty live? They have constraints on them. There are certain ways that they need to live to keep the family name upheld. We are rich in Christ. We have been, we are the recipients of grace and mercy. We are to live that way. Live the truth that you believe. Repent and confess when you sin. I remember a college friend, I spoke to him once after graduation. Does that count as a friend? But we went on the same ministry together. It's Athens Regional Youth Detention Center. And his testimony of salvation was that he had a high school acquaintance. I don't remember if it was considered a friend or not, but this high schooler was known as a Christian. He was somewhat evangelistic. He sought to witness to others. But tragically, this high school Christian was out with other high schoolers and got drunk with them. And the guy I knew, his name was Mike, he said, when I saw him in the way that he repented of that, the way he regretted, and he went to everyone he could that saw him drunk and asked them to forgive him, that opened my heart to the gospel. God can use anything that you do that's right to open someone's mind or heart to the gospel, to advance the gospel, even your repentance of sin. Sadly, these false teachers don't repent. They continue on. As he says at the end of chapter 2, they return to their vomit like a dog. They return to their mire, their sinful fleshly habits like a hog. Their deception, their denial, their immorality, and fourthly, their greed. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Covetousness is always, always used in a negative way in God's word. That's why I was shocked, maybe shocked is too big a strong word, but puzzled when I heard someone say, I covet your prayers. Coveting is wrong. All right? I know what they're saying, but use a better choice of words. All right? Covetousness is uncontrolled greed, the lust for more. The love of money is the root of all evil. How many have heard of John D. Rockefeller? Heard of Chevron? All right, he started Chevron. It was called Standard Oil. It was so high, and then now it's Chevron. He was one of the first American millionaires back in the late 1800s, I believe. He was asked one time, how much money is enough money? His reply, just a million more. Okay. Interestingly, he lost his health due to his greed. He could, though he had millions, he could only eat the simplest of meals, like bread and water kind of meals, because of his stomach condition. He was bedridden a lot of time until he started to give away his money. He carried pocketfuls, perhaps bags of dimes. He would pass out dimes to anyone he met. A dime would be like a $10 bill a day back then. And he regained his health. In greediness, they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you. Feigned words translates the Greek word plastos, with plastic, fake, manufactured, insincere words. They will make merchandise of you. That's the only time the word plastos is used in the New Testament. So Peter has another first or only. The false teachers will say anything, any empty, vain words, as well, in verse 18, as great swelling words of vanity to influence and capture their victims. They use religion as their cloak of covetousness. 1 Thessalonians 2:5. They get rich from fleecing the flock. Yes, the Bible teaches the laborer is worthy of his hire. But false teachers are motivated not by the love of Christ, not for the love of people, but by the love of money, by greed. Immorality, greed, and pride have been the ruin of many, and false teachers exhibit all three. Make merchandise is the Greek word emporiomai. Emporiomai. You heard that word before? You read a Zane Grey, a guy comes into town, a western town. Where does he go to buy stuff? At the emporium. Emporium means merchandise, to make merchandise of you. You've heard it before. False teachers seek to exploit you with their plastic, fake words. Very different from the attitude that Peter described and urged upon his readers in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 22. Unfeigned love of the brethren. Sincere, not fake, not hypocritical, but unfeigned love of the brethren. These false teachers are not ministers, but are merchandisers. I told my family, I think it was yesterday, last 2 days, the longer I live, the more I am convinced that almost all advertising is lies. Our advertising, it's just lies. They'll say anything to make the buck, to get the sale. And that's what these folks did. They make merchandise, and you are the commodity. Has anyone heard of Mike Warnke? Mike Warnke? Yeah. I heard of him through someone else who was a ministry partner on a youth detention center ministry. He claimed to be a satanic high priest in the 70s, to have gotten saved. He wrote a best-selling book. You know what best-selling means? Lots of money. Okay. Called The Satan Sellers. He was interviewed numerous times on TV and radio. He was like the poster child for the evils of Satanism and satanic abuse. And he was became a preacher and a Christian comedian in the 80s and 90s. He is exposed as a fraud by a Christian journalist. Perhaps Warnke's lifestyle tipped off this journalist because he was married. Then he had an adulterous affair with a woman, divorced his first wife, married her, later cheated on her with another adulterous affair, divorced the second wife, later had another third adulterous affair, and these are the only ones that are known, public, divorced his third wife, married a fourth. And he is still preaching to people who don't know or who don't accept the Bible qualifications for pastors, for Christian ministry. His lifestyle revealed false teacher. Laurel Rose Wilson, in 1991, wrote a book called Satan's Underground. She wrote it under as changed her name to Lauren Stratford. It is saying how when she grew up, her mom would offer her to guys for sexual favors for a price. Later, she got involved in Satanism, and she had babies that were sacrificed to Satan. All of this, her book is very sexually explicit. Don't read it. For that reason as well, as it's all a hoax. It's a fraud. 9 years later, she claimed under the name Laura Grabowski to be a Holocaust survivor, went around speaking, collecting donations to Holocaust survivors that she pocketed. Greed, lying. What impact did these false teachers have on the public's perception of Satanism and Christianity? The way of truth was evil spoken of. Anyone who speaks today about Satanism, the public perception is they're lying, they're a fraud, they're only in it for the money. The way of truth has been blasphemed. True ministers, servants of Jesus Christ, have nothing to hide. Their life, their ministry, are an open book. True ministers preach the truth in love, do not twist scriptures to support their own selfish ideas and lifestyles. He does not flatter the rich, nor minister to make money. Paul describes the true teacher in 2 Corinthians 4:2. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Truth does not need the support of falsehood. Truth can stand inspection. Contrast that with the description of what Peter wrote in this chapter and with what Jude wrote. We need to be alert and refuse to support teachers and ministries that deceive, that exploit people, that deny the Savior, that live immoral lifestyles. I was in high school. I know it shocks you, right? I was in high school once. There was a gospel group coming to town called the Kingsmen. I don't know if they're still together. I had a lot of their albums. I was like, the Kingsmen are coming. The Kingsmen are coming. Not the British, but the Kingsmen. And they're going to be at the public high school for a concert. And as I was walking by their bus, I saw one of them, well, I don't know which one, smoking. And that troubled me. These are servants of God. And then, talking with a friend, who she had been in some local music group, she said, oh yeah, they're all into stuff like that, all those singing groups. She was looking at me like, where do you come from? Don't you know this? I was so naive. Refuse to support any teacher, any ministry that exploits or deceives or lies or finances immoral lifestyles. It's my intention, when we finish chapter 2, to give the names of some false teachers and false teachings and why. That will be a challenging sermon. It has potential to be offensive, to be misunderstood. So please pray for me, that the Lord would guide me and that I will follow him. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at the doom of false teachers. Beloved, know and live the truth. Paul said in Philippians 2, 15 and 16, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst, not away from, separated from, but in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Father, we thank you for your word, and Father, that your Spirit helps us to divide it rightly. Lord, I pray that you would teach us the truth, that we would recognize false teaching when we come across it. Father, help us to seek, as Jude says in his epistle, to rescue those who are involved in this, as we would pull wood out of fire and put it out. Lord, we pray that you would be glorified and that you would be honored in our lives. Thank you for your goodness, your forgiveness in Christ. Amen.